Zimbabwe holds parliamentary elections tomorrow, a poll that's been discredited even before it's held. The country's 2002 presidential election was widely condemned as fraudulent, and as this election nears, a State Department spokesman says there are reasons for concern. He cited manipulation of the media and the lack of independent outside observers. The European Union says it's considering taking unspecified steps against the government of President Robert Mugabe over the way it conducts elections. NPR's Charlene Hunter-Galt is covering this campaign from Zimbabwe's capital, Harare.
In Harare, I meet a 37-year-old chauffeur. Like so many Mugabe opponents, he's afraid to use his real name. I'll call him Farai. A supporter of the Movement for Democratic Change, or MDC, no surprise. The urban areas, MDC strongholds, having won 57 of the 120 parliamentary seats in the last parliamentary election in 2000. Farai is convinced the MDC is going to win big this time around. He's counting on the disaffection of ZANU-PF supporters like his father and uncle, a war veteran involved in seizing a white farm with the government's blessing. But now they've been forcibly evicted once, their houses and possessions burned, they say, by government agents, and Farai is hoping the seeds have been sown to make them switch allegiances. So the day after we meet, we set out on the 4-hour journey to find out. Along the way, we get some insights into why voters like Farai are supporting the MDC.
No, this is yes.
Fuel lines are not as long as they were a few months ago, but there are chronic shortages. The same with food. There is some, for those with cash. But in a country with almost 80% unemployment, few can afford even the staple mealy meal at about $4 US a 44-pound bag. At the fourth stop, we finally find the diesel. We also find a carload of people with an MDC poster on their car door.
You don't trust anyone here in nowadays. You don't trust anyone. We don't even trust you because you might not have been sent.
I identify myself and present a card. The man opens up. Unlike the presidential election in 2002, when there was widespread voter intimidation, beatings, torture, and rape, there's been comparatively little violence this time around. In 2002, international observers blamed most of the violence on the ruling party. Today, civic activists like Brian Kagoro say the ruling party doesn't need violence. It has the psychological edge.
What those laws sought to do was to proscribe the spaces within which what they saw as anti-state activities could take place, and also to give the state the leeway to keep very stringent supervision and surveillance over the activities of non-state formations. Mm-hmm. So very little happens in this country outside either the permission or the restraint of the state.
Still, along the road, deep in what is known as ZANU-PF territory, passers-by frequently salute us with the open palm, the greeting of the MDC. Finally, we leave the highway and head down a long dirt road deep into the bush, past small farm plots the new black owners are struggling to maintain. Eventually, we find Farai's father and uncle at the edge of a settlement of some 700 families who joined them in the land seizure. We also find ZANU-PF supporters holding a meeting under the trees. I ask who's going to win the election. A satisfied party member steps forward.
I'm sure ZANU-PF will win.
Yeah, why are you sure?
Yes, because we got our land and so we stay so peacefully.
But later, away from the meeting, Farai's father and uncle take me to their homestead and show me the remains of their huts.
My mother's house was this. My father was up there. And my young brother's house was there. You see, with all ashes over there.
Farai's uncle believes the white farmer may have paid off the local authorities to drive them away. But they have fought back, getting a court order saying they could stay. But he shows me the order he keeps in a plastic bag, and it says, at least until they are settled in a new place by the government. In other areas, peasants who were the original stalking horses of land reclamation have also been removed, their houses burned, their farms reportedly allotted to government and military officials. Still, Farai's family say they will vote for the ruling party this time around. Farai warns, I shouldn't believe everything I hear. Charlene Hunter-Galt, NPR News in the Mashingo region of Zimbabwe.